Hey, it's Sunday, August 8th, about 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. What are you guys up to today? Anything good? I'm in one of those funks, man. Had a really rough day yesterday, so I didn't put up a podcast. I don't know, feeling normal today, but let's see, what's normal for me? Yeah. Same old stuff, man, pondering everything. It's kind of quiet in the house right now, so I figured I'd slip away and do a little bit of self-reflection and see what's going on inside my head. Ever have that feeling where you're exhausted, but you can't relax? You're super tired, but you can't fall asleep. You shut your eyes and they're just like forcing you to reopen them. I'm trying to do that now. Just kind of relax. Maybe I need to start meditating. I don't know what I need. You know what is one good thing? I think I mentioned this the other day. I feel like I found like the horn for me. And I'm really digging this one mouthpiece that I have. So that's a positive, right? Let's look at all the positive things. Got this really annoying pain on the right side of my lower rib cage. And it always makes me nervous because that's where you air quotes, feel when your liver is inflamed, when you have problems there. But it could also just be IBS. Although it always seems to be in that one spot. Strange. Ever try IB Guard? That's actually a pretty good pill. It's like a peppermint, I think, extract in a pill form. The only thing is you got to drink a lot of water with it and get it down your throat quick or you'll be tasting peppermint for like hours. But aside from that, it's a really nice, like if your stomach isn't feeling good or your intestines are kind of out of whack, it's a real nice quick fixer kind of thing. At least I found for me. And of course, medical disclaimer, I am not a physician in anything. I am not an authority on anything. So I can only tell you the things that I do and if they work or not for me or what they do to me or not. So anyway, yeah, so kind of going with that. I had some mint magic tea, which is some more mint and some chamomile to kind of like chill you out, calm you down. Well, for some reason, whenever I drink herbal tea, I don't know if it's the honey, I'm not sure what it is, but I always get heartburn. That kind of sucks because that stuff's supposed to soothe everything down there and it seems like it throws my stuff out of whack, which, I mean, really, doesn't that make sense for me? Like everything that should do something doesn't seem to do it. I don't know. Crazy. Just said hi to my daughter. She's my youngest is out in Florida right now on a nice little trip with one of her friends, so that's cool. Little nerve-wracking that she's so far away, but they're having fun, so good to hear that. Glad she's having a good time. Went out with my middle daughter. Went out to TJ Maxx. That's always fun to buy, like, cosmetics and fun stuff like that. So, you know, maybe I should talk a little bit about that. I've been thinking that I haven't really addressed a lot of these things or really brought these things up, but I actually enjoy shopping with girls. And I really like bags. There's a lot of effeminate things about me as a man. It's funny because when you look at me, you'd be like, oh, look, it's Paul Bunyan. I look like this big lumberjack type dude. But yeah, I'm actually really in touch with that stuff. And I enjoy doing that kind of shopping, probably more than my wife does, which is strange. Or maybe not. Maybe that's why we're in some twisted, fucked up way compatible, is that we're completely the opposite of each other. But yeah, we went and I got some, let's see, what I like soap a lot. Like I'm a real big fan of everywhere I go. If I see like a homemade soap or something, I always like to buy that stuff because it smells so good. I'm big on smell. Like I like I can remember like the smell of the gay bars when I lived in New York City. Like it just had this, it wasn't bad by any means. It was very arousing. It had some kind of a smell though. But anyway, my point is I'm very in touch with my nose. My nose influences me a lot. Some of my favorite smells are coconuts. Summery smells. I like that, you know, like the tropical kind of stuff always makes me feel better. So I try to find stuff like, you know, like Seabreeze and, you know, all these silly melters that smell good. But I also love the fall. So I like, you know, like cinnamon and spice and pumpkins and apples and stuff like that. I don't know. I just like smells. I think it's great when you, it helps to solidify, for me, it helps to solidify memories. Like I can smell something, like this one girl that I dated back when I lived in New York City wore Eternity perfume. And as soon as I smell that, it's as if I'm back, it's been almost 30 years. I'm back 30 years in that time of my life where I can just remember things we did, places we went. Like I'm thinking about it right now. And I can remember going to like Banana Republic and Patricia Field and the Limelight, this club we used to go to all the time. And can remember my manager's flat that he had. He had this amazing studio apartment. It was just outrageous. It was so cool. Yeah, I can remember all that stuff just from a smell. It just triggers so many memories. So I don't know if that's how it is for you, but smells can make me remember things much more vividly than I would have otherwise if there wasn't some kind of a smell. You know, like you walk into your mother's house. Well, see, I can't say that now because my parents don't live in my childhood home anymore. So it's not that smell, but like, you know, you walk into a house that you've been into your whole life and it just has kind of an odor to it that just brings back all the memories and makes it feel like home, or makes it feel more like home anyway. So yeah, we try to have stinks going on here all the time. Anyway, if you can tell, I'm trying to be chill here. I'm trying to relax and be calm and not be such a maniac. I watched an interesting video tip earlier today, and it was talking about how you should actually speak less than you think, because when you overtalk, you give people the impression of unprofessionalism or a lack of confidence. I wonder if that's something that I did to myself in this last role as I continue to dissect that seemingly every day. Like maybe I spoke too much. Maybe it was overwhelming and it made these people feel a lack of confidence in what I was trying to do because I just spoke too much. Maybe there's something to be said for not saying so much. I mean, that's going to be really hard for me. If you can well imagine that, you know, I'm full of wind, you know, over here. I definitely have a lot to say. Not necessarily anything meaningful, but a lot of words come out of my mouth. And I guess I'll have to kind of take a look at that and see how I can apply that to situations and circumstances where maybe I'm overthinking and over-talking and over-speaking. You know, and just giving a simple answer might be more powerful. At least that's what I took away from the clip that I watched. I don't know. I agreed with it. It was interesting. So I guess I'll have to work on, not really here, obviously in a monologue, you kind of have to keep on going. But when I'm addressing other people and working on, you know, tasks and projects and things like that, maybe it's better that I say less rather than more. I always feel like it's, you know, I'm doing a good thing by explaining in detail what we're trying to do and, you know, what I'm trying to do and the questions that I might have. And I think I just confuse people. I give them too much and they can't, you know, they stop listening after a certain point and just kind of go about their day and check out. So they're not paying attention anymore. So for me, trying to formulate, and I've been working on this for a long time anyway, but, you know, I've always thought that the most intelligent people are able to say the most profound things in the most concise manner, right? So you can say something that means an awful lot in a very few words, you know, like proverbs. I mean, that's kind of what those are, right? They're like profound statements that are very short and to the point. And it's actually much more difficult to do if you've not ever thought about that, but it's actually pretty hard to take something that's extraordinarily complex and in depth and make it short and sweet and still take you down the same path of meaning and deliverance. And yeah, that's a hard thing to do. So I'm working on that. I have been for a number of years and, you know, I don't know that I'm any better at it. I have brief moments where, you know, things that I say are profound and enlightening and meaningful, but it's certainly not a daily occurrence or by any stretch something that happens in every conversation or interaction that I participate in. So, you know, we all got to work on stuff, but I'm just kind of, I don't know, trying to veg out and chill out, take a deep breath. But there's always something that kind of gets in the way of that. Like, I've been doing this entire monologue so far with my eyes closed. I don't know if that comes over differently, if it sounds differently to you, but it feels a little different to me. I don't feel any more focused, really. I just feel slower. Maybe my pace is not as rapid. I did some breathing exercises yesterday as well that I thought was, you know, I was having like some heart issues yesterday. I thought my heart, I don't know if it was something I ate. I didn't get enough sleep, anxiety, who knows? Sometimes my heart, you know, I have arrhythmia. One of my symptoms of my condition is my heart beats funny. And if you've never had that before, it's very disconcerting feeling. It makes you feel like out of sorts. It's hard to explain. It's like, makes you feel kind of tired, but it makes you more anxious because the flow of blood is in throughout your body is being disrupted. It's not flowing the way it normally would. So it's a very odd feeling. And it's for me anyway, it's very noticeable. It's not something I can just forget about it. It's just like continues to do it. And it's annoying as hell. And it's very distracting. And like I said, hard for me to, put it to the side. So I figured I would try some breathing exercises yesterday to see if that would help. And it appears as if what my problem was is that I'm still not eating properly. And I've done it again today. I think I've had a bagel maybe so far. What time? So it's like 3:15. And all I've eaten so far today was a bagel. I don't know. I can't quite figure this out, but it feels like to me when I don't have enough fuel in my body or whatever my body's craving, which it's not really communicating clearly to me what that might be, my heart gets all out of whack. And it's, I don't know. I have just apparently have very bad eating habits. It's not that I really eat bad food. It's just that I don't eat probably enough. So I'm calorie deprived or, you know, most of the time. I think I had dinner yesterday at like 6:30 and I didn't eat anything today until about 11. So if I'm, you know, I'm not intentionally intermittently fasting, but I kind of am. That's a few hours there. But then I had a bagel and I've had one literal cup of coffee. So I drink, you know, I might drink a few cups of coffee, but I actually drink a single cup, meaning 8 ounces of coffee. So it's not like a Tim Hortons large, you know, which is like five cups of coffee. I drink a cup of coffee. So I had a cup of coffee and then I had an herbal tea and a bagel with just butter on it this morning. Like 11 or 11:30, whatever time that was. And I haven't had anything since. So I guess my point is that I you know, I'm trying to get to because I'm failing miserably at this. I'm not very good at it. I need to get on like a schedule of meals where I eat something in the mornings, you know, like, I don't know if it's 3 meals a day or whatever it's supposed to be, but I need to eat something substantial enough in the morning that carries me through to the evening. Because what I do find is that on the weekends, it's not that I'm less tired. It's just that because I'm not doing the critical thinking that I do throughout the week that I feel less tired, but I don't really have any better eating habits on the weekend than I do during the week. And I think that's, you know what I should say? I did also have I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce this. A Ghirardelli, dark chocolate with sea salt caramel. One of those little chocolate squares. And that's like, I don't know, 140 calories looks like. I do like the dark chocolate better than milk chocolate. It's supposed to be better for you anyway, because it's kind of bitter, more bitter than sweet. But I'm sure that the corn syrup or whatever the hell they're using in the caramel. Let's see, what does this thing have in it? Unsweetened chocolate, corn syrup. Oh, shocking. Second ingredient. Yeah, you can't, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? It's so hard to buy things that are healthy now. It's almost impossible. I mean, unless you make it yourself, you're going to get all this chemical crap in it. At least in the United States, it's pretty difficult to find things in a regular store that aren't full of chemicals and crap and high fructose corn syrup and all this shit that you're not supposed to be eating. So yeah, well, I guess I had some high fructose corn syrup today. Well, at least corn syrup. I also heard a weird thing that you're not, you know, that somebody was like, man, there's a conspiracy theory for everything. So here was one about corn. Yeah, you didn't hear me wrong. You heard me right. Corn. Now, I realize, and I've known probably my whole life, there's no nutritional benefit to corn. You eat corn and, you know, when it comes back out the other side, it's mostly undigested. And there's very little, if no, nutritional value in corn because we can't break it down with the emulsifying agents in our stomachs. And I guess you could argue that, you know, if a cow can't break down corn and they have four stomachs, then a human being with one can't either. So it's interesting that we eat corn and we make corn syrup out of corn, which is like a highly addictive, sugary, kind of pasty stuff. And it's actually really bad for you. So I wonder, I mean, I don't eat like tons of corn, but there's corn underscore, you know, like corn something in a lot of stuff, whether it's corn starch, whether it's corn meal, corn itself, corn syrup, you know, all that kind of, there's a lot of things we make out of corn. And if it's so bad for us, I wonder why we're doing that. And, you know, that really brings me back to, you know, thoughts about, look, I'm all for businesses making money and all that kind of stuff. But at what point do people get to making decisions that are knowingly not in the best interests of all people? Now, I understand that not everyone is going to be, you know, a messiah or someone concerned about the greater good of all. But when did money really overtake that whole concept of, instead of it being a good quality, some whatever it is, it's cheap garbage that we're selling just so that we can make more money? I mean, I'd love to know what it's like to be, just for a day, like a fly on the wall of a multimillionaire, somebody that's very successful, not necessarily famous, but financially, you know, somebody wealthy, let's just put it that way. So, you know, multi-millions of dollars, wants for nothing, that kind of thing. What do they do? Because if you're in the know on this, like, let's say you're a CEO or an executive of a company, and you're the one making the decisions to do these, you know, ridiculous things. I mean, clearly you know yourself how bad this crap is, so you wouldn't be eating it. You wouldn't give it to your kids or your friends or your family. So what is it that you're actually doing? Do these people have like their own farms where they have their own cattle and grass-fed cow and grass-fed chickens and, or, you know, whatever chickens eat, you know, not grass, obviously, but I think they eat cornmeal, which, you know, my question is, how do we get to the point where we're so concerned about money and posting a profit each quarter to Wall Street that we make decisions that even we, the people making the decisions, can't escape the outcome or the repercussions? It's, for example, like, you know, you're a chemical company and you dumped all your chemicals in. I just saw a video this morning about how Florida, all the bays and stuff and the ponds and whatever, the bodies of water that are not the ocean in Florida, have all these dead fish and dead wildlife and all this stuff because people are pouring shit into the water. It's like, well, I mean, if you live there, how do you avoid the very thing that you're causing? You know, if you're drinking the water, you're going to be affected by that too. I'd love to know how it is that these people that are in charge of all these very poor decisions that are made for the sake of money and power, how are they not exposed and subjected to the same crap that the rest of us slugs are? That's a real conundrum. Word of the day. I might have missed that the other day. I'm not sure I said that word. on Friday. Hmm. Anyway, that's a real conundrum for me. I don't really get that one because I'm not in that kind of a position where I'd be able to understand what people that have unlimited amount of money actually do. And that's the whole thing with the vaccine. I watched a number of celebrities and people that are famous get some kind of a vaccine on TV. Now, I guess you could go down two trains of thought with that is they actually got the vaccine or they were given a placebo just to make it look like they got the vaccine. But again, that goes back to what kinds of pieces of shit exist out there if they know. Now, look, I understand they're an actor. They could be playing a part, just like the Mandarin from Iron Man 3. Just playing a part, wasn't real. But, you're perpetuating a lie for hundreds of millions of people going, oh, look, this famous person's getting their shot. Yay, I'm going to get mine too. It must be safe. I mean, it's appalling. Where do you draw the line where you're like, yeah, I'm not going to do that, even though you offered me $1 million to do it? How can you live with yourself being that kind of a person if that's what's actually happening? But again, back to my original question, what are these people eating? Where do they get their food? Where do they get their water? Where do they get their medications? If not from the same place that the common person does. Is there a whole nother market that is just unknown to regular schmoes like me? Where you can buy things that are clean, the clean market, and we're in the dirty market. Realistically, I guess we would be the black market and they would be, the commercial market would be for all the rich people. Do you think that's true? You think that's a possibility or is that plausible at all? Or is that just, I have too much time on my hands to think about stupid shit like this. And that's what I concluded. Or that's one of the roads I went down. I don't know. It's a weird, I can't fathom, like if I were in that position and I knew that high fructose corn syrup did all of this stuff, there's no way, that anyone in my family would ever eat it. The only reason that anyone in my family or myself ever does eat it is because I can't always find an alternative. It's not necessarily for lack of money. I'm fine spending $6 on a jar of peanut butter that's all it's got in it is peanuts and salt. Instead of peanuts, high fructose corn syrup, salt, sugar, all this other crap that's not supposed to be in peanut butter. Same with jelly. Can't you just make a fruit spread that's made out of actual fruit? God forbid. And I'm not even saying that it's healthy for you in terms of you're going to get nutrition and nutrients from it. I'm just saying that it's not full of poisonous chemicals. That's truly what I'm trying to avoid is eating things that are going to make me sick in the long run. So I don't know, that's a real conundrum for me. I'm not really getting how that works because there's no way in hell if you knew all these things were bad, why would you take the vaccine if you know it's not, if it's going to make you sick or if it's in some way going to catalog you or control you? I mean, why would you do, who would do that? No one would do that. Certainly not people that had a choice and were in the know. Why would you choose that? You just wouldn't. Right? That doesn't make any logical sense for anyone. Even if you're a complete buffoon, you're not going to do that. You know it's the wrong thing to do. Why would you do it? So do you think that people actually got, a placebo like glucose or whatever they could inject into your arm that's nothing rather than the actual vaccine? I mean, I don't really want to go, I'm so sick and tired of talking about this to some extent, but at the same time, I'm so flabbergasted by the fact that we can't get to a single source of truth on what is going on with these vaccinations. I mean, I don't give a shit what they say. I'm not taking anything else. I don't care what that means in terms of my freedoms that I can't do anymore. I just won't do it. If I can't go to shows, okay, I don't go to shows. If I can't go on an airplane, so be it. I don't fucking get on an airplane. I'm not going to be forced to do this again because I was compliant and did what was asked the first time. And here we are facing almost no change. Or is it all lies to try to get you to take more medicine? Or they're going to come out with another booster shot, or there's, you know, God only knows what's on the horizon for all these things. But I, you know, I've kind of had enough of that. And I'm really, you know, my, back to my original question, what are the people that are in the know? Because if there's always that scenario, just like even at my work, the people on the leadership team know things that the rest of the company doesn't know. And it's so apparent now that I'm not on that part of now that I'm not employed in that capacity with this employer, I don't know what the hell's going on at all. I mean, people on my own team are resigning and I don't even know it because they don't report to me anymore. So they don't, you know, they don't have to resign to me. They have to resign to my boss, but they're not even communicating any of that. So I don't even know. People don't even know who's coming and who's going. It's crazy. I mean, it's a really toxic environment because of even just that one thing where you're talking to somebody the day before and now you see that they're... I had a guy ask me, I reached out to another teammate the other day and I was talking about like some work that he had done in the past. I'm like, you know, just asking some questions. And he's like, hey man, does this guy still work here? And I'm like, no, yesterday was his last day. He's like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah, well, don't feel bad. Nobody knew. The only reason I knew is because I talked to the guy personally and I was the person he was handing everything off to. Otherwise, I wouldn't have found out because my own boss didn't tell me. Crazy. I mean, it's just, so my point being that, you know, we're not in the know. Regular people like us that make up the bulk of the United States of America do not know what the hell is going on in this country. And probably for good reason. I'm sure there's some underlying fundamental reason that we're not being told what's going on because it's horrible and people will object to it. You know, I don't know why well enough wasn't sufficient. I feel like, you know, you've reached a point like you're Jeff Bezos. I mean, how much more money do you really need? I mean, come on. I you know, hey, good for you. I mean, you've been very successful. Congratulations. But look, man, take your foot off the fucking gas at this point. What else do you think you need to accomplish and achieve in your lifetime? You know, I mean, just go enjoy the simpler things now, man. You've got the money to do that 100 lifetimes over. Stop trying to do all this other dumb shit that, you know, it just interferes with everyone else and gets, you know, it's forcing and subjecting people like me to things that are just ludicrous. I mean, what do you care? You know, when you're that level of financial stability, you don't care what's going on. I've said this countless times. You're not worried about the cost of anything because you can buy anything you want 1,000 times over. So money isn't a factor to you. So I can understand why your decisions would be vastly different than mine would be because I have to consider the fact that, well, you know, I can't go buy a Bugatti. I don't have $250,000 that I can even, you know, consider spending, let alone that would be like pocket change for some people. So I can understand why you wouldn't have the same daily struggles that I do. And I'm not saying that people at that level don't struggle and have issues. And I mean, they're human beings, but they sure as heck shouldn't be making decisions for the rest of us that don't play on an equal field. You know, that's like saying, okay, well, to be a quarterback, you have to be able to throw the ball 100 yards and only 6 people in the entire world can do that. So there's only 6 quarterbacks. I mean, you need to set the standard to where, you know, the things are achievable and they're realistic. Not complete lunacy like that. I mean, yeah, I get it. You don't give a shit how much gas is. You just went up in an airplane, in a spaceship into space. What was it, like $250 million a ticket? Yeah, well, I understand you can just literally burn money. I can't do that. That's never going to happen in my lifetime. I'm not going to be afforded that kind of an opportunity. So what makes you think that when you decide to do this, that, or the other thing that impacts significantly the average person, that we don't care about that? Of course we do. You're affecting my life, you fucking asshole. You know, I'm bitter about it. I mean, it's ridiculous that people that are not any more evolved, they've just been more fortunate in finance than I have, are somehow in charge of me and you and everybody else. And there's no disputing it because these people have so much money, they can do whatever they want. They can manipulate the law. They can change the law. They can write new law. They can influence the people that write new law. I mean, they can do anything. If you got enough money, anybody can be bought. Right? I mean, look at our Congress. I mean, it's a joke. You know, what do you think lobbying is? It's people buying people off. Yeah, I want this law passed. How much is it going to cost to get your vote? And you know, those people, it's a reciprocal thing because the people in office need the people and to give this to the super PACs and all the money they need for their campaign to hold and maintain their position in office. It's just such a corrupt system. It's never going to work. There's no way this is how it started. I don't know anything about our governmental history really from an academia's perspective, but there's no way this is how it started. Maybe there is. I don't know. You know, I mean, money was different back then, but the freedom that we fought so desperately to have seems to be going away pretty quick here. So I don't know what it is we're trying to achieve here with one world power or whatever all this crap is that's being talked about. I have no idea what the agenda is there and how that's going to help or make anything better for anyone other than, again, the people that are already in charge of everything. What is it that you need that you don't have? I mean, is this just some kind of a game to these people? But I mean, honestly, I just want to live my life simply. I don't know why there's all this hysteria going on around everything and why everybody has to make such radical and just ballistic changes that are just, they're not necessary. What are we hoping to achieve with all this? I truly have no idea. I think it's just like a sick joke. These people have nothing better to do with their time because they have so much money. This is what they come up with. Because, I mean, how much control do you need? How much more would, I hate to keep using this guy because I don't know him. I don't know if he's a bad person or not. I'm just saying he's very wealthy. What else does Jeff Bezos need? What possibly, or Bill Gates, I mean, what possibly could be something you want for? And I don't even mean materialistically, but these guys have been wildly successful just in their achievements in their lifetimes. And now they got to go fuck with every individual person on the planet? I mean, Bill Gates developed software. Who gives a shit what this guy thinks? It really blows my mind that we really have it backwards here, in my opinion. We have some of the most, I don't know what the word is. Let me think about this. We have people that have arrived in positions of ridiculous power, often and most often by chance and luck and good fortune. I'm not saying they didn't work hard for what they've done and what, you know, they didn't put the time in. I'm just saying, why is it that someone that, you know, started a tech company, they just happened to start one, let's say, 15 years ago, is now a trillionaire, and someone that started some other kind of company might in fact be out of business now because it wasn't, I mean, it's just luck of the draw, right? I mean, nobody could foresee the future that this was 20 years ago, tech was going to be what it was. So it was just luck. So these people just happened to get into the industry most likely based on happenstance or luck or, you know, their thing just turned out to be wildly successful. But that doesn't mean that they know what's best for you or I. I don't live that kind of lifestyle. How could you possibly know what I need? And I've said this before. It's you're not in touch with reality the reality that I face every day. You live in a world where you just went to space, man. And you know, that was probably not a big deal for you, especially the financial part of it. So you're going to tell me that you know what I need on a daily basis and you're going to make the best decisions for me. And the things that you're doing behind the scenes are in no way possibly helping me. I mean, I've said this too before, that we need like a Superman to come down, some all-powerful, benevolent being, and just fix all this shit. And unfortunately, I think what's happening is kind of the opposite of the things that I was saying before, is that there are countless numbers of people here that need to be eliminated. But it's not you and me. It's these clowns at the top that are ruining everything. Right. It's nothing that I'm doing. Nothing that I do each and every day has any effect on you or anyone else. I live my life. Most of the time, I don't even leave my house most days because I work from home. And what I do for work is benign. I mean, I work in technology. I just, you know, fix broken systems for other companies. So I'm not doing anything that's harming anybody. I'm not doing that kind of stuff. But they're trying to get rid of millions and millions and millions and millions of us so that more of them can stick around or have more control or more power. They already have it all now anyway. You know, it's like a team that's like up 20-0 and they're still running up the score. It's like, dude, you won. You won. Conceded. Why are you still hitting home runs? You know, where do these people come from that they're just so, just awful? I mean, that's an asshole no matter how you look at it, right? I mean, if you got kids or anything, you've ever been in Little League, you get to a certain point where you're creaming the other team and you don't keep on tightening the screws, man. At some point, you're just like, all right, quit stealing bases. All right, don't strike out. But, you know, I mean, you know, you don't have to try your hardest right now because this is ridiculous. We killed this team. And yeah, I guess you could argue that, well, that's not a winning spirit, Garrett. That's not how it works. Yeah, clearly. But I mean, you know, got $500-700 billion and you need more? What don't you have now, man? And that's what, you know, leads you down these just ludicrous paths of thought where it's like, what is it that they could possibly know that they need to do whatever it is that they're doing to achieve that I don't know? Like, why would you need world domination at a global scale like this? What are you hoping to achieve? Did some other being tell you that this is how it has to happen? You know, it's just, who knows? But it's crazy shit. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be afraid of change. I think change is great. It's fine. It's inevitable, you know, but we're reaching a point where I don't know really what are we going to do next? I mean, we're already very disconnected, even though we're more connected than we have ever been. Now people can't go anywhere really because of the pandemic. I mean, is life becoming worth living? I don't know. It's becoming pretty shitty. And my bigger stake in this is that, you know, I'm toward the end of my life, but I have 3 kids that are just getting started. And I'd love for them to have a great opportunity at being successful in life, just like I did. I wouldn't want them to live under martial law and or military rule or dictatorships or, you know, any of this crap that we keep hearing being spoken about. It's, I don't know, man. Maybe that's enough for a Sunday. Let me read a poem. How about that? I'm not even going to say what book this is from because it's just dumb to keep saying it. This one's called Boysenberry Dreams. It comes to me in dreams, the kind that you swear actually happened. You wake with silent screams, wondering for a few minutes if that actually happened. It's really hard to tell what is real and what is not. Your mind blends them all so well, and in a flash, you just forgot. But some have staying power. Those can last more than an hour. But the ones I love most stay with you as if you were its host. It feels quite the same as any other experience in any other game. Your mind knows not the difference. Even you are befuddled with indifference. Do they mean anything at all? Are they setting you up to fall? Does it matter if they are not real? As there is really no difference in how they feel. I wonder this often, it doesn't appear to soften the way I interact with them, having fond recollections from God knows when. They really did take place, though all we can use is what's behind our own face. Those are the only real clues. But for me, I find them exciting and cannot wait for the next. Whether frightening or inviting, I want them to be perplexed, hexed, and vexed. Perhaps there is no significant meaning in dreaming or even needing some other form of satisfaction from these uncommon interaction. So off to bed I go. Will I recall? Of course I won't know. But I hope it's something extraordinary. I'd like to be more than simply Boysenberry. Well, I've talked about this a little bit too in the past. dreams that, you know, I have really vivid dreams that feel real to me. I wake up thinking that it happened. And then you kind of wonder, it's like, well, did this really happen? And what is the difference in terms of your memory from a dream to reality? And I guess, as I started saying early on in this, you know, some of that can be in the smells and the sounds and the things that don't come across as well in dreams, that give your memories more validity and stability and staying power. Maybe that's the differentiation between dreams, but I think I've spoken about that a bunch of times. Anyway, I'll let you get back to your Sunday if you're doing anything exciting. I got to go plan for dinner and figure out what we're going to do over here. As always, thanks for listening. If you feel so obliged, I would always appreciate your support. Click the linky that I have in my stinky in my bio there, and it'll take you to all the other fun stuff that I'm doing. All right, have a good weekend, and I hope your week ahead is also full of wonder and excitement. See ya.